This is episode 426, dated Friday, August 22nd, 2025.
You are listening to the In Perspective weekly podcast with Bob Branco and Peter O'Toole.
Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to In Perspective. My name is Bob Branco. Glad to be here today with all of you. This is episode 426, dated Friday, August 22nd, 2025. Our regular co-host, Peter O'Toole, will not be here today, so we have a fill-in co-host, and I would like to thank Anthony Corona for agreeing to fill in for Peter. Anthony, welcome to the program, and thanks again.
Well, thank you as well. I'm glad to be here.
How's the weather out there?
It is pouring rain, as it usually is this time of the year. We're watching the side effects of a hurricane that's not going to directly hit, but it's definitely bringing in a lot of wind and water.
So you're on the East Coast.
I'm in Miami. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Well, we're feeling the effects of Erin, but it's mostly out in the ocean with a lot of rip currents, and there was some strong winds last night. Otherwise, it's beautiful out today here in southeastern Massachusetts. Temperatures approach to 80. The sun is out. It's dry, and we're going to have a dry weekend here.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. We're going to have a wet weekend, but we have something called Miami Spice, where all the restaurants do like tasting menus. So we'll be fed really well this weekend.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me thank those people who make it possible for In Perspective to be aired. We start out with Raymond Gay, our editor and producer, our media outlets. Thank you for what you do as well. And of course, our website designer, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions. Thank you for archiving our shows on my website. If you want to look for most of our archived programs, you can go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to In Perspective Podcasts. Click on those and you will see most of our archives from latest to earliest. And as Peter O'Toole always says, merci, Jackie. I want to say hi to some people. I want to say hi to Sheila, who is our facilitator for today's episode. And of course, Nikki, she's our streamer for today's episode. And because we are being streamed, let me give out my email address for those people who would like to send us comments and opinions. It's bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco93@gmail.com. And there are two listeners I'd like to say hi to today as well, Marlene Massat and Linda Lambert. Thank you very much for your support and for your letters. And we're hoping to get letters from other listeners as well. In today's society, cell phones are a common thing. A lot of people use them. It's convenient. I really appreciate the fact that we have them. Technology has come a long way. As a matter of fact, I'll go on record right now and I'll say that I am in awe of technology, the things that it can do for us. It's fascinating. And while people have cell phones, and I'm glad that they do, we're going to talk today about when it may be inappropriate to use them, when we feel they might be overused. So that's what our conversation is going to be about today on In Perspective. We have two panel members on the program that I know about. I do expect two others. Let me introduce the two that we have for the moment, then I will ask about the other two. We have with us Reginald George. Welcome, Reg.
Hello.
And Chiapetta. Welcome.
Hi there.
Now, we are still waiting on Deborah Joyce and Maria Martin. Are they here right now? No? Okay. So, let me ask either one of you about this. Now, I want to start from the bottom and ask you about young children with cell phones. And the thing of it is, to me, if I had a child, I would not give him or her a cell phone until they reach the age of 14. That's just me. Other people feel differently than I do. With all the things that you can do on a cell phone, we try to avoid people getting carried away. And young children, unless they're guided, will do a lot of things on cell phones. They might look at a lot of things that they shouldn't be looking at that age. not to mention running up bills, because until you're a certain age, your parents are responsible for your bills. So I want to touch on that at first. What are your thoughts on young children having cell phones, like 9, 10, 11 years old, for example? Reg or Ann?
This is Annie. Well, my youngest child is 30 years old. So when we first got considered getting our kids their cell phones, we were into flip phones. That's how far back my experience goes. But even though, you know, it was, we were in the flip phone age, we didn't actually let my daughter have a phone until fourth grade. She lost her cell phone 4 times in a year. So it wasn't so much that we, you know, and flip phones were very different. They weren't smartphones. You know, you could only call people, maybe text if you had a good plan and it didn't cost a lot of money. For us, it was the thing of responsibility, with our kids, you know, like, you know, how many times is she going to lose her phone before we say no more? And, we finally did that. We said, well, you can't get another phone for another year until you show some more responsibility. So that's the way it was for me, you know, way back. So I don't have any more recent, parental instructions, but I do know that there's a lot more opportunity for, to control your child's phone. There's a lot of more parental controls now. If the parents know how to handle the technology correctly, they really can have more control, with their child's cell phone use. But that's about it, all I know.
I was going to say I'm sorry. I just wanted to make one comment in response to what Ann said. And she raised some good points about back in the day, you had the flip phones and the first generation cell phones. One thing that you did not have much of back then, which is now an issue today, is social media. And that seems to be one of the major concerns, especially with children. You know, they are very easily swayed by what they read and hear about. And that's another one of my concerns. I'm sorry, whoever that was, you can speak. Go right ahead.
This is Reg. And I'm willing to play devil's advocate on that a little bit. But I think she made a good point about the parental controls. But I think a lot of it depends on the kid, the reason for them having the cell phone. I'm certainly no expert. I didn't have children. I helped raise 3 of them for a while. And if they're having to walk to school every day or taking buses or involved in extracurricular activities, or you think about all those girls at that camp in Texas that got flooded out and all the cell phones were, you know, put away and they couldn't call their parents. I mean, you know, situations like that. The social media aspect, I mean, if you are getting a kid a flip phone and giving it to them with the primary reason of them being able to call home or to know where they are or to be able to track their location. And most people can get unlimited plans for children now at a very reasonable cost. So I think that there are definitely situations where it's needed and necessary and helpful to the parents. It makes everybody feel a lot more secure that the kid has one. But it's like anything else. It's up to the parents to police the technology, to set up those safeguards, and to monitor what the kids are doing with their phones and the apps are out there, and controls to be for them to be able to do that.
Hey, so, yes.
This is Anthony. I was going to jump in there too.
I kind of
agree with both, Annie and Reg here. I definitely think it depends on the child, you know, the relationship that you have with your child. I've had the experience of helping to raise a niece and 2 nephews. And, you know, the rule from my niece, who is oldest, was when you're 15, you can have unlimited use of the cell phone. As long as you're responsible. Before that, it was 8:30 at night. The cell phone was collected at 6 o'clock on Sundays. And it was given back right before you left for school. You know, and you had that amount of time to use the cell phone, and my sister was very vigilant on checking, you know, the parental controls that were available 15 years ago or so. But that rule didn't hold fast. My middle nephew was very, he was a rambunctious boy, broke two iPads in the space of like 3 months. So he did not get unlimited access to his phone until he was a senior in high school. Yeah. And the younger one has it now. He's 12. He has it all the time and he is extremely responsible. So I think it's a person, you know, a kid specific, parental relationship specific. But you know, you do need to be checking what your kids are doing and activating those controls and being aware of what accounts and where your children are going on the, internet.
Yeah, for sure.
What about the dynamic of cell phones in class? I know there's been a big debate about that. Some states want to ban cell phones in school. And I can see both sides of the issue, by the way. I understand why the cell phone is important in school, especially nowadays with all the things going on. You kind of need your cell phone to call your mother and father under certain conditions.
That they need it. Most children at this point have a laptop, where they can message if God forbid there was, you know, I'm of the belief that, you know, homeroom, that phone needs to go in the locker and you get it at lunch and you get it when you leave. But
I agree with that. Of course, I'm talking about kids 14 and under. As I stated earlier, I wouldn't give my child a cell phone until they were 14. But the states that want to ban them, I think I understand why. Because if I'm a teacher and I'm teaching 25 students and they all have their cell phones and I'm dictating a lesson to them, how do I know for sure? Of course, most kids will do what I ask them to do, but how do I know for sure that they're not looking on Facebook or doing other things, playing games while they're in school? That would be my major, major concern about a cell phone in class.
At least back in the day, you know, if people were writing notes back and forth to each other, you could see the paper airplanes flying, or, you know, you had some kind of clue that nefarious activity was happening. But yeah, with the cell phones, it's a heck of a lot harder to control. I think we're all pretty close in agreement on that one, that it's a distraction. If they're playing with their phone, they're not listening to the instructor. Especially if somebody's a blind instructor, then we're at a double disadvantage. So go ahead, Ann.
Oh, thank you. So Ann, my sister, she's retired now, but until recently, till last year, she was a teacher. She's a teacher in California in high school. And, you know, it was customary to have, the teacher stand by the door. And as the kid comes in the room, put their cell phone in the box. And you didn't get to go into the classroom without the cell phone being in the box. And each teacher had a lock box to put all the phones in. And then, you know, you got them back at the end of each class. And, you know, that was the only way they could really do any sort of policing around cell phones, you know, in public school, you know, at the high school level, was to really, you know, be that strict with them.
Yeah, I would say as an adult, I'm inappropriate with my cell phone. I mean, I try really hard, but then I'll, you know, find myself, you know, answering a text message out in public with my friends and being ridiculed. And, you know, it's good if they learn from the start, you know, that because they are very addictive little gadgets that can take up way too much of our time. So,
yeah.
I tell the story often in my niece's graduation party. And like I said, this is going back 15 years. So it was just at the beginning of social media and texting was, you know, really at the height of, you know, understanding what you could do with texting. But the graduation party, there's like 12 girls and music playing, but there was no talking, no nothing. But then you'd hear like two or three of them giggling, looking at their phones. And I'm like, what are they doing? And my sister's like, I know, they're texting each other. I'm like, but there's nobody else here. It's just them. I know. I honestly believe at this point, it's interfering with social skills.
I agree.
And the, you know, the yeah. way
Thank you, Rich.
Younger generations communicate versus the way we all communicate.
Thank you, Reg. I agree 100%. So as far as another thing too, you're going out to dinner and people are on their cell phones a lot of times instead of sitting there fellowshipping with friends and they're texting and they're even texting across the table. So your point is well taken, Reg, because I've heard of that under that circumstance too.
I think that was Anthony that said that.
That was Anthony.
Oh, I'm sorry, Anthony. Anthony. I'm sorry, Anthony. You sound like Reg a little bit. My apologies. But Anthony, you have a point because I'm concerned about conversations as we used to know them and a lot of social time that we used to know that we all grew up in. But now it's like, I've got to text this person. I've got to text that person, even though they're a few feet apart.
Yeah.
I text my husband from the other side of the house.
Okay.
I mean, I admit it. I'm in my office and I'm sitting down. I'm involved in something, but I know I've got to ask him a question or whatever. So I text him.
This is Rich. I'm going to sound like Anthony now.
Oh, did you want to say something, Reg? I'm sorry.
No, I was just agreeing with Ann. I have that same, I do that too. When you're in the same house, you can walk across the house and say hello and you send a text instead. It's kind of ridiculous.
We encourage these types of habits. Technology, has a balance to things. I feel fortunate that I cannot like walk and chew gum at the same time. So even when we could talk on cell phones anytime we want and we have, earpieces now and all of that, I personally cannot, hold a conversation while I'm doing something else. And maybe that's a good thing. I used to think it was a bad thing, but now I have to stop and think about what I want to do. Do you want to answer the call? Do I want to keep going? And that kind of helps me manage that whole, overwhelming habit of, integrating so much of technology into your life. I think that's the balance, we need to set for ourselves. And that's the balance we need to set for our kids too.
How many of you feel that technology is interfering with critical thinking?
I'm going to take an absolute on that one. My partner is the access services director for a major university, and some of the, the stories that he comes home with, and, in dealing with going around the country giving presentations, I can see a huge difference between my generation, the generation behind me, and the generation behind that. And critical thinking and just basic social skills are not the same at all. I constantly hear it's so much easier to text. No, it really isn't. You can accomplish in a 5-minute phone call what would take 20, 30 minutes in texting back and forth if you're trying to have an actual conversation. I want, pick up milk, pick up bread, or I'll see you at 5:30. Okay, that's great for texting, but if you actually need to exchange information, it is so much easier to have a phone call.
Go ahead, Bob.
So I agree with Anthony. I remember when I was a therapist and one of the main things that most couples would come to me with was, they argued on via text messaging, and I would have to put the barrier down. Like, you cannot argue via text messaging. You could say, right, like Anthony said, can you please pick up milk or pick up the kid today or I'm out sick or something. But, really intense emotional discussion should not be on text messages. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Anthony, my wife is listening to the program right now as we speak, and she agrees with you totally about it. Sometimes it takes longer to text the message than it is to say the message.
oh my God. And for someone like me who uses dictation at least 75%, then you have to go back and edit. If it's, I tell my family and very close friends, typos are typos. You're going to get hundreds of them. I'm not taking the time to edit. You know me and love me, but anything business related and so on and so forth, and I back to the critical thinking piece of it, the technology that we use fills in so much of the gaps, and Bob, you and I and Annie, I'm not sure how old Reg is, but we're all relatively in the same, 20-year bracket. We learned those critical thinking skills. We learned reading the paragraph, we had 5 words that were, not in there, and we had to fill them in. That was a space of critical thinking. There are certain activities that kids are not exposed to, that just do not form that critical thinking in the way we're used to it. There are pieces of critical thinking that blow our minds, though, that the technology aids in. Look at how many people are struggling with uses of artificial intelligence. So it's it's a two-way street back and forth.
This is Reg. And yeah, you can't talk about critical thinking and lack of it without bringing artificial intelligence into it a little bit, because, I think we're all on the same page on that. I'm 62. I went to a blind school through 8th grade and public school after that. And, now you can say a couple of words and it will produce your entire paper, sourced paper. You don't have to go to the library. Everything's being handed to you. People are literally losing the skills of knowing how to find information or knowing how to read a map, or it's been that way for a long time, but it feels like it's accelerating because the closer that, and those things get to our level, and the more that we get done for us, then the less we're going to be doing ourselves, unfortunately. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially for kids.
Absolutely. And the critical thinking piece of being able to verify and understand information that's being given to you. Is it real information? Is it coming from a reputable source, et cetera, is also lost, in the kids don't research. You ask a kid today what a card catalog is and like Hallmark, trying to find a library book. I mean, I think if you dropped, somebody on Fifth Avenue, the New York Public Library, and told them, go find this book of, certain generations, and they'd be lost. They wouldn't have any clue where to begin.
Yeah, kids don't know what an encyclopedia is.
Or what's a book? Yeah.
Or an atlas. They're
like,
what?
It's all Wikipedia. Yeah. It's all Wikipedia now. And I'm not sure how accurate Wikipedia really is. I've heard some stories lately about that. It's not all accurate.
No.
It isn't.
Anybody
can edit it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where the critical thinking thing kind of gets diluted in, newer generations. Thank God, like my kids, they do have critical thinking skills because, they were at the point, like I said, they were in the flip phone stage. So they did have all of those skills given to them, with teachers and instruction and stuff. But, I don't know.
And then of course there's the issue of using your cell phone while you're driving. And we know the rules about that. I don't think any of us need to hear them. We all understand them. And this is why I'm glad that the Bluetooth was invented, because now you don't have to hold the phone in your ear while you're trying to look at the road. This way you've got the Bluetooth. Unless I'm wrong, Bluetooth is set up where it's hands-free.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Our new vehicle, as soon as you put your phone in the vehicle, the phone and the vehicle connect and it's hands-free. Yeah.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes.
Oh, it's Maria.
Maria.
I've been having trouble getting in.
You are in. That's all that matters, Maria, is that you are in. And I wanted to ask you something while I thought about it, because I remember when we first met back in 2013, one of the first things that we talked about on the phone Well, we talked about online dating, which is a subject for another day. Remember we talked about that?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then we got into the area of cell. Then we got into the area of cell phones, which you have a lot of strong opinions about, or at least you did back in the day. And then you and I organized an event here in New Bedford called Children and Social Media. Remember that? And we did it at a place called Gifts to Give. And that ties in with our discussion. So I would love to get your input, just for the sake of our conversation, about what led you to that event. And your thoughts about kids with cell phones and going online at a young age and doing what they do today.
Right. Well, my kids are this Gen Z generation, and everything is done via technology. Everything. They want something delivered. They type it in on their phone. Boom. Instant delivery. There is no... They don't work for it. They don't work for anything anymore. Everything is at the tap of their phones now. And I was listening earlier to, I know now in Massachusetts, they want to make cell phones not available in school. And my daughter is now a teacher. And they were discussing that. And the parents and the students do not like the idea of that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because now the kids are being trained what to do for mass shootings. The course is called Alice. And this is what they're teaching the kids. What to do now if someone comes in for a mass shooting. And they encourage their kids to have their cell phones to call for help. So that is the real reason now that a lot of the students are having the cell phones. They don't want to be without help if something should happen. They're scaring these children beyond belief. And there's shootings everywhere. So now what they want to do is to take their phones and put them into a basket or lockbox. But once again, what happens if someone comes in and they don't have access to a phone to call for 911 because they can't rely on the teacher because the teacher is trying to initiate this drill that they're learning. So that is going to be a big issue, especially in Massachusetts.
Do you think that might prevent the motion from being passed? About banning cell phones.
I don't know if it's going to be passed. Last I heard it was on the table. You know, I do understand that they do want their cell phones. It's a security blanket. They need to have it on them constantly. Now, do I agree with that? No. Do I agree with the fact of, you know, if they're telling this kid to hide in the closet, you know, and call somebody, at least they have access to 911 to call for help. Because in our day, we would have never have had that. I don't condone them having the phone, but on the other hand, it could be a safety measure for them. So that's, I think, something that is being toyed with.
Well,
I know for
honesty,
a fact.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, in all honesty, back in the day, we didn't hear much about mass shootings. They've only became more apparent in the more recent past and including today.
Exactly. And I think that is going to be a big major issue now in the schools about things like that. So I'm kind of on the fence now about it. I know for a fact that a lot of times the kids get overwhelmed in school in general, like we did, but a lot of these schools now don't have recess. I know a lot of the middle schools don't have it. I had recess in middle school. So they want to give the kids enough time during the day to unwind. So they're letting them use their phones or their tablets for 10 minutes just to unwind and then put the phone down and go back to class.
The problem I have with that is the kids are not going out to play. That's
exactly.
When I grew up, that's what recess was. You go out, spend 10 minutes playing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think that's an issue for today's generation. They're not
correct.
Going out to play like they once did.
You think yeah. I have to push back
well,
on that
I'm not.
One.
Okay.
I hear you, and I'm of the generation that went out to play. I'm of the generation when I got to high school, I was able to leave campus to, you know, for that hour to go get food or go home or whatever it be. But, you know, it is so easy for someone to come up or a group of someone's to come up and take out too many kids in too short a
exactly.
time. And with school
exactly.
resources being as strained as they are, they cannot provide the cover of security.
Yes.
And so the give and take mm-hmm. of it is that they work in like 20 minutes in the gym and these extra 10 minute breaks for screen time or downtime, put your head down, put an earbud in for 10 minutes. And they make up the recess time in other ways because, you know, the schools, the resources
yes.
are just too strained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And security.
I don't think that's good for them. I understand the security purpose of it. But when here was the thing, and this is what really bothers me about it. While these kids are so messed up, we would be bullied in school and then you went home and that was your safe space. They weren't there. Now they're constantly there. They're constantly indebted with TikToks and Instagrams and all that, which even if
well,
you take that phone away, it's still there. They can hear it. And eventually they're going to pick it up.
Absolutely.
They're going to pick it up.
We're in a parenting crisis because I do believe that a significant portion of the population does not know how to parent at this point.
They don't.
They don't. And,
yeah.
you know, they were in front of screens. They were in front of television screens and then video games and then finally personal computers and phones. And that is, you know, generationally, now their children are in front of screens all day. And, you know, we are losing so much in the realm of teaching each other how to parent and how to model how to live and how to have critical thinking.
Right.
And it goes back to, it all goes back to the resource angle. Because just as the mm-hmm. schools don't have resources, the parents don't have resources. And when you're trying to figure out how to get food on the table, how to pay the electric bill, how to get three or four kids to school, you know, it's just easier to pop them in front of a screen for 2 hours to get the bulk of what you need to get done. It's
correct.
Not right, but that's where we are in the world.
But you also have to understand that the schools have gotten rid of textbooks. Okay. So now they learn by Chromebooks. Okay, my son is going to college, and his classes are all online. Even nursing students now. Nursing students do not physically go in and do a lot of their labs or whatever, dissections and all that. They do it online. They're paying $365 for a code to get into an online class. So even because, number one, the textbooks are not up to date in any way, shape, or form. And they're not making them anymore. I have a friend who writes math books here in Massachusetts for a living. It's all done online. Zoom, when they had to do Zoom classes. Yes, it was wonderful in one respect. But another respect, it took that emotional, learning how to deal with people. They can't deal with people.
Interpersonal interaction.
So,
mm-hmm. But they also can't
deal
with consequences and they can't deal with critical thinking. And I think it goes back to, I think it was Annie who said it earlier. If you don't have to work that hard for it, then it doesn't mean that much to you. And that's one of the pieces that, you know, in the parenting crisis, we're not forcing our children to work for anything. We're handing them everything they need and everything that they want, and we're not enforcing consequences on the other side of things. So you get out into the real world and you have a boss with expectations and you have no idea how to communicate in the first place. You have no idea how to match those expectations to the life experience you've had up to this point. You know, this is what we're, have you gone to a medical appointment recently where there's someone, you know, in their early 20s who can barely have a conversation with you? You know, yes. And this is their job, and you're asking them to explain what the procedures are going to be, and they don't even know how to communicate that to you.
Right. Yeah. So exactly. And I also notice that now these young adults, as I'm experiencing, you can't say boo to them. All of a sudden, you're causing me mental illness, you're gaslighting me, and then they go to these therapists, and the therapists are telling them, cut off the communication with your parents and your family. Okay, we're just trying to do the best that we can because there's no book. We don't know. I don't know. I still don't know. You know? And, you know, they coddle them. It's coddling. Coddle, 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 coddle. And that's why all these kids can't handle it. They can't handle life. And I tell them, life is going to throw things at you that you cannot even believe. And then when you try to tell them about the experiences, oh, please, you always make it about you. It's not about me. I'm telling you what I went through. Well, things were different then. Not really. They really weren't. The only thing we didn't have was information fed to us 24/7, 365. There's no break. And that's killing them.
You're listening to In Perspective, and we're here with Anthony Corona, who's filling in for Peter Altschul as our co-host for today. Our topic is cell phone usage and the effect that it's having on society. Deborah.
Hi there. Sorry, it took me a minute to unmute.
Is this Deborah J?
Nope, this is Deborah Thomas from Canada.
Okay, yes. Go ahead, yeah. Deborah.
Well, it's quite the topic because you're sort of like almost darned if you do and you're darned if you don't but I think in, like, we've had school shootings up here too. And, I think, okay, that I agree with the students being like taking a special training course on, what to do if you're, you know, in the shooting situation, but it all really comes down to the responsibility, I think, of the teacher. I know some people may not agree with me, but it's the teachers who should be, sort of authorizing the situation. And, yes, I agree with some relaxation time and a little bit of time to catch up with your messages or whatever you need to do. But all the cell phones should go in the drawer of the teacher's desk. And then they get taken out when they're ready, when the kids are ready to go home. The other thing you have nowadays is entitlement. And got that. And, you know, kids can get away with telling the teacher to, you know what, off and walk out of the class. And some of the parents, and you're right that a lot of folks don't know how to parent. And the other thing you have too is if you have a parent that has grown up in an abusive situation themselves, the upbringing of the future child is going to be, can be affected. And so you got that to deal with. And, it's a sort of a catch-22, I think, you know. There's no accountability in anything nowadays, you know, customer service and everything, but I'm going off on a tangent, so, and I'll let other people have a chance at it.
Very good comments, Deborah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Deborah.
Yeah.
All right.
That entitlement piece definitely needs to be a conversation at some point because that's probably the biggest of the ills. We bred a world and a community full of people that feel entitled because of the way we were raised. And I even find myself falling into that trap at times.
All right. Lynn Corral. Hi, well, I'm old. I'm 73 and my son is over 50. So we didn't have any of these problems in the old days.
we didn't have phones, and I didn't get my phone till I was 50, my first flip phone. But you know, I think that, I have bemoaned the fact that people can't communicate these days and they don't know how to talk to people. And I use the phone a lot. So I mean, the regular phone a lot and even the cell phone, but I don't, you know, and I check messages, but I don't, but if I'm at dinner, no, I don't, I really don't. I mean, I think it's appropriate. Or if I'm going to my choir practice, I don't bring the phone, you know, I bring the phone to record the rehearsal, but I don't record it. You know, I don't check messages until I'm done. And, you know, I think if we're in meetings and stuff like that, I think we should not be using the phone for any purpose except the meeting itself.
I'm glad you brought that up because I have a friend who she'd be in the middle of bingo. She'd be in the middle of a meeting. And I would call her up on her cell phone. Of course, I wouldn't know where she is. I'm calling her up to talk to her about something. And she will answer her phone and she will say, I'm in a meeting. I'll call you back. Well, if you're in a meeting, why did you answer the phone? I mean, just let me put a message on your voicemail and you can call me back when you're out of the meeting. Why do you have to answer the phone just to tell me I'm in a meeting? I'll call you back. And I'll tell you one that's even more intriguing than that one. I actually called somebody one day and he answered the phone and you can hear this loud organ in the background. And here's what he said. I'm at mass. I'll call you back. I'm in a church meeting. Yeah. I'll call you back.
I can just imagine my grandmother.
Oh my God.
Have mercy.
Well, believe me, I'm not going to have my phone going in the high holidays next month. I'm not going to be doing that. I mean, it's just rude. And I do think that, about critical thinking. Yes, I think we have lost critical thinking. And that's probably why we're in the mess we're in this country. But I do think that if we learn how to talk to each other, and I've got a niece who's like in her 30s. I've got a niece and nephew who are in their 30s. And, you know, and if I call them, they don't really call me back. And, you know, they're on Facebook a lot. I'm on Facebook occasionally, but I'm not on Facebook all the time. And I think that people who use Facebook all the time, and I know some people in their 60s and 70s who are, but I'm not. You know, I think communication between human beings and talking to people is the most important thing. I think they should teach courses in parenting. I only had one son, but you know, I think that, he says I did well by him. But you know, because I had boundaries, and I think we have to have boundaries for our children.
Yes.
Yeah. And consequences.
That's yep. Right.
We do not place the value on the consequence anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, we go back to that argument. Oh, everybody gets a trophy. I played baseball. Everybody shouldn't get a trophy. I'm sorry, but the team that loses mm-hmm. loses.
That's right.
And because you're not going to get a trophy when you don't produce the work. You're going to get
it. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, technology is a tool. It shouldn't be everything. It just shouldn't
be. It shouldn't be. Yeah. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Great points, Dr. Lane. Thank you so much.
I think we have somebody in Clubhouse. Nikki, do we have somebody in Clubhouse?
We do. Jim?
This is Jim.
How are you? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And I appreciate the conversation about the kids because I think it starts then and it starts at home. But I also wanted to bring up about some adult stuff too. Like I'm a guide dog handler and the last dog I got was in 2015 and she's going to be 12 in a couple of months. So there'll be another one soon. And I noticed that this one wasn't socialized as well as some of the others. I'm on number 4. And, you know, for various reasons, and I know there's lots of different things that the schools are dealing with, but, you know, the program that the group that she was with, the puppy group she was with, they hadn't graduated a team in like over 3 or 4 years, and it was a huge group. And I think there were various reasons, but, cause I was actually invited a year or two later to come back and speak to that puppy group. Which was kind of neat. But one of the things I dealt with when I got my first dog, as far as socialization goes, and I'm not mentioning any schools here, not at all, because I don't want it to go there. But it was from a different school, but a similar situation. We had some folk delivering furniture, and the dog had never seen an African-American before. And the trainers handled it beautifully, especially one in particular. And he, you know, had me shake one of the delivery guy's hands and my dog chilled out. But all of a sudden I'm walking through the door and, all of a sudden my dog lets out this hellacious growl. And I just, you know, but like I said, it was handled. All right. Voiceover talking. But one of the things I shared with the puppy groups, and I always do whenever I speak to them, is to tell them, look, we really need you all to expose the dogs as much as possibly can. But this goes back to the phones. They're even doing more and more on Zoom and a lot less in the community. And they'll do special community things as a group organized, but they're not, the individuals are not allowed in some of the puppy groups or puppy clubs to do their own kind of what we call freelancing or going places with your family or on your own with your dog. It's very much more restricted. And so as a result, what you get, like in class, we walked past a fountain in a department store and my dog stopped and the trainers, you know, they thought it was kind of funny the way she was looking at this fountain. And I was like, well, that's weird. Hasn't she ever been here before? You know, cause I figure most places, if not all of them, they've taken you in class, you know, your dog had been there before. And they're like, well, we don't know. And I'm like, you don't know? And so, I mean, the doctor worked out great. Obviously I've had her for just over 10 years, but as a someone who's the experienced handler, you know, I kind of knew how to handle a lot of this stuff, but I think we're doing too much remote. Sure. It's convenient. And yeah, maybe our books, you know, waiting for the tapes to come, and a lot of them come even in graduate school, way after you finished a class, that was really annoying, you know, and things like that. So, I mean, I think there's a place for it, and the etiquette stuff you all talked about, that's huge. Just turn the darn thing off. So I'll shut up now, but yeah, Zoom and all that is great, but there's a place for in-person activity, and it really can have some, you know, some negative consequences later on in life, as you all have talked about, but in so many ways that I don't think, especially people that run programs of many types, whether our own education or education of service animals or even, you know, running a business or corporate America. So, you know, you think this technology has been around a long time, but people still need to behave better. I'm sorry, they just do. And I'll shut up now.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate
your thoughts. Thanks, Jim.
Anybody else?
And Bob, yes, and it is 10 till. So.
All right, we've got about less than 10 minutes to go. We still have time for several more.
Yep. All right, 614, ending in 972. Please unmute and tell us who you are.
614.
I'm Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi. I have a couple of things. First of all, I get extremely frustrated with people and their texting. I'm not a texter. And, you know, I'm definitely not on Facebook or any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I have nieces and things like that who, you know, they'd love to communicate, but they're really not interested in talking on the phone. And my sister is almost as bad. Not quite. Sometimes I can get her to call me back. Luckily, my brother still knows how to use a phone. But, you know, I mean, I keep saying that, you know, half joking, like, 40 or 50 years from now, I think people are going to be born without voices because, you know, a lot of them don't know how to use them anymore. They, you know, they don't need to talk. All they ever want to do is text. So, you know, it's kind of sad to me. It really is. And, you know, I agree with the one point you made earlier, you know, when you're trying to make plans and so on and so forth, and people are going back and forth texting, well, do you want to do this? And then you're waiting for the text. No, well, how about this place? Well, no, how about, you could have done it in, you know, 3 minutes instead of taking 15 or 20 to go back and forth trying to ask the same thing.
So Shirley, and everybody else, here's my obvious question. What is the fascination for texting over talking when it takes longer to text?
I think because, you know, it's something, I think it started out with something kids enjoy doing, because a lot of times, you know, they could do it, and, you know, whether they were at dinner someplace or across from their friends or whatever, they could do it and be a little bit more unobtrusive And, you know, not everybody had to hear what they were saying, and they didn't necessarily have to be listening to what other people they were doing. They could just quietly do this kind of stuff. And it maybe started out as a novelty, but it's just ridiculous the way it's gone. But the other comment that I want to make real quickly, you know, my husband and I don't have kids. We never have. And I've got a lot of mixed feelings on this phones in school things. For the most part, I think they should be taken away in school. I'm mainly for it. And I think a lot of kids are too young that have phones. I know some of the school systems, hear that they're definitely doing that. And I understand even in foreign countries, I heard that they are either in the process of outlawing them or have outlawed them some places in New Zealand. But there is that little, you know, catch 22 thing that the one woman mentioned from Massachusetts, you know, with all these school shootings and everything going on. I mean, it's horrible that this stuff is happening. It shouldn't be a valid reason. But, you know, if an emergency happens, you know, what in the world, you know, does a kid do? They kind of probably feel helpless, and the parents want to be able to get a hold of them. So I don't know. It's a real tough one. I mean, for the most part, I don't think they should be in the classrooms, but there's got to be a better way, unless you somehow can program the phones, which probably could be done, that within the hours between, you know, whatever the school hours are, that the phones would be locked, that they only could call 911 or something like that if need be, so they can't play with them or do anything else. I mean, maybe there is a way to do something like that. I don't know what the answer is, but it's certainly not a simple solution that fits every case. So,
well,
guess those are my main comments.
Well, thank you very much, Shirley. Any responses before we move on?
Well, this is Annie. I don't know. This is kind of, you know, not sarcastic, but, you know, we had technology kind of got us into this mess. So maybe technology can get us out. Like Shirley said, like maybe there's a way maybe there could be some kind of software, to use to help manage, you know, phone usage in schools that doesn't exclude being able to call out in case of an emergency.
There are a lot of charter schools that actually have those devices that block the access to the internet. The only thing you can do is make calls.
Right.
You can't do anything data driven. And once you are on school property, the phone is not usable other than making phone calls. But honestly, I think it's overthinking it. You know, you have two kids with phones in the class, one at the Northeast and one at the Southwest, or whatever the, you know, points are for hiding, exiting, escape window, whatever it be. You have two kids with their phones for the emergencies, and everybody else puts it in the basket.
Oh yeah, that would work. And take turns, see who's assigned the phone for the day or something
exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
I mean, think That's about all the jobs idea. We did when we were in school. We, you know, fire drill, hall monitor, you know, lunch
right.
monitor, you know, this would be one thing to alleviate the stress. I mean, you know, you can't look at everything. I heard that comment and I cringed about it. The teacher should be responsible. The teacher's responsible for, you know, upbringing at this point. You know, there are so many parents that drop their kids off and they think they're getting a well, you know, a full rounded parental experience by dropping their kid off at school. Suddenly they're going to become etiquette and knowledgeable and polite. You know, these teachers have way too much, and now we're going to add more onto their plate with phone security. They're already responsible for securing their classrooms, making sure the kids
right.
do what the drills teach them to do. Now we got to worry about who's going to actually be making the 911 calls. And in those kind of situations, how many of us are going to be thinking rationally at our age? Now we're putting that responsibility on the kids. There's got to be a better way.
Bob, you are down to like 3 minutes.
Okay,
so
we do have time for maybe one more.
Susan.
Hello, everybody. One disruption that I haven't heard, maybe I missed it, but a disruption that I haven't heard spoken about is parents themselves making calls and texts to the children.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's part of it for sure.
Right. And the kids.
That's enabling.
Responding to it, and it's causing conflicts and problems within the classroom.
Yep.
That's yep. enabling. That's what that is.
Well, the parents are as dependent as it's a codependency, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I know that I wanted a princess phone in the most biggest way possible, a pink princess phone. And my parents simply said no. And I didn't get it.
Yeah. And you can say no, right? I mean,
mine said pay for it and you can have it. And I got
mine didn't even say pay for it. It was just no.
Yeah. I will tell you, 5 months later, I had my phone disconnected. It was just too much. Too much of my paycheck was going for me to be able to make a phone call at 10:30 at night when I'm supposed to be sleeping.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, there's always
boundaries
and things, but, mm-hmm. and the other thing is peer pressure. The kids,
of course. You know,
every kid has a phone and every parent doesn't want their kid to be the only kid that doesn't have a phone.
Good yeah. point. And I hate to say this, but we're about ready to wrap it up. I'm concerned about the future, though, of education and of society. Hopefully, like somebody said, maybe technology will reverse things a little bit, make things more realistic and go back to the way things were, like, you know, whatever needs to be done, like the 911 only. That was a good example. But we are out of time. I want to thank everybody for participating. This was a very great discussion, in my opinion. Anthony Corona, thank you for filling in for Peter Altschul today.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Great job. I'm Bob Branco. Go safe with God's abundant blessings and catch you on the air next week. Have a good one.